Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
The Bob Seska Show.
Bob Seska.
Hi, this is Adam West. I hope that you're having a really great Christmas season, and I wish you all a happy new year.
The Bob Seska Show.
Adam West from beyond the grave. Thank you, Adam. From our nation's capital, it is Tuesday, November 30, 2021. This is the Bob Seska Show on the Sexy Liberal Podcast Network. Hi, how you doing? My name is Bob.
Hello, Bob.
Hello. Day 315 of the Biden-Harris administration. 343 days until the 22 midterms. I am on Instagram. Find me over there at Instagram. The Bob Seska is my handle. I'm on Twitter, too, at BobSeska_go. The dumbest handle in the entire world. All right, Buzz is in here today, so let's do this. Yeah.
Holy corpse, Batman.
Mike.
All right, Rocky Mountain Mike is here filling in for Buzz. Well, Holy shit, man.
It picks with the fingers. It picks it.
Oh, hey, you know what?
No, it's just let it be, you know? It's get back, you know?
Well, I'm amazed that you were able to do that because there is a 1 second delay.
I've got a feeling.
I'm just really, really into, you know, the movie.
See?
All right. Okay, I'm done now.
Outstanding. Gave me a chance to have a little sip of coffee, a little sip of my beverage here as we try to climb back into the show after a week off. And I'm kind of feeling a little rusty after a week off. I gotta tune up the old outrage machine. So yeah. What's new? What's happening in your world this week?
Thanks for having me, and thanks for having me on. Sorry for the reason, and you know, all the best to
Buzz. Yeah, we'll talk about that in just a second. Yep.
I'm outraged that you didn't accept my non-apology about calling you a terrorist.
I hung up on you right away. Yeah. Yeah.
This whole get back thing is inspiring me to take my guitar and amp to the roof and play until they make me stop. These are the dad jokes. Chris Christie's book is out. I don't think it flopping affects him much. All he wanted to do was be governor of New Jersey. Everything after that is just gravy.
There's a man who knows his gravy, sure.
And I just got off the phone. I had to give up my deposit for my autograph booth at Omicron 22.
Are you going too? I just got my lanyard in the mail. I'm so excited.
The World Health Organization describes Omicron as a variant of concern.
Yes.
Which tells me the guy absolutely did it. And did you have a nice holiday? I did.
Yeah. Going to talk about that in a second, too.
Yeah, and you got the whole thing with political things. We take our holiday political arguments for granted, but it wasn't always this way. The first Thanksgiving had less talk and more Plymouth Rock. The Bob Seska
Show. Speaking of you, here's more you.
Yeah. Here come the Trump fans. 1, 2, 3. It's all part of that fantasy. Right there in Dallas, we can all see the crowd chanting all their lies and singing out loud. I'm not right. It's my QAnon fantasy. Yeah.
Hey, it's you, Great Rocky Mountain Mike, Rocky MNTN Mike on Twitter.
Thank you.
Very nicely done.
So trying to do Paul Rogers is not easy.
Yeah, a very active Thanksgiving week then, apparently. You had some time off for a song here, huh?
Yeah, yeah. You know, and my neighbors across the street felt pity on me and had me over for Thanksgiving.
Oh, that's
nice.
And
my neighbor next door, after that was over, brought me more food. And so I had a nice, leftover lunch on Friday.
Yeah,
so.
Speaking of food, I raised all kinds of controversy on Twitter by announcing that I'm not a giant fan of Thanksgiving food. The individual things I'm okay with, but just assembled all together, not a big fan. And of course, Twitter blew up. And I'm not sure I got ratioed, but it was pretty damn close to being a ratio. Because that's how Twitter works. But you also adopted a dog, which is wonderful news. It's always nice to hear someone not using a puppy mill or something like that to attain a dog. And I'm glad to hear it.
That is actually housebreaking news. It just was yesterday. I didn't even know this dog existed this time yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, really? Yeah.
And my next door neighbor is a vet. And she knew that I had been thinking about getting a dog. And this person brought this dog in to have it put to sleep because she was too cheap to pay for it being spayed.
People like that should be banned from ever being able to adopt another animal ever.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'm really radical when it comes to these things.
Yeah. So I told Leslie, my neighbor, I said, I have a feeling if I don't take this dog that nobody else will. She's kind of scrawny, but she's really adorable and cute. And she's very loving, and it didn't take her, I think she's attached to me. I think just spending one night, and she's, despite my snoring.
Well, I can't thank you enough, Mike, for jumping in for Buzz here today, our first show after Thanksgiving, and one of three Tuesdays before our Christmas break.
Buzz will be back next week, right?
Yes, Buzz will be back next week. Sadly, he lost his stepmom during the break and had to go out to Kansas and take care of everything there. Once again, we saw this with his dad a while back. Buzz and dealing with his family is so inspirational. He is such a champion for his family, and the things he goes through to take care of business is incredible. It's something that we should all recognize as being above and beyond, Herculean, as Larry King used to say. So best wishes to our good friend Buzz Burbank. So, yeah, and as I said, he'll be back next Tuesday.
Driving to Kansas from Florida alone is mind-boggling to me.
Holy God, yeah.
I've been such a homebody the past couple of years, I don't even leave town for anything.
I know the feeling. I mean, to me, driving a couple minutes down the road is a chore, mainly because I don't go everywhere. The extent of my commute is walking from over there to over here. That's my commute every day, so I'm not used
to it. And yet, since we talked last time, I now own a camper trailer.
That's right. All right. So you're one step closer to being about Schmidt. Are you going to collect some Hummels and travel across the country?
That's part of the reason I got the dog, because I don't want to. I'm serious. I want to drive. I want to take this thing to Death Valley.
Yeah.
And that's a long time to be alone.
Right.
You know? Yeah. And I drove to Montana and back last year. Mm-hmm. 5,000-mile round trip.
Yeah.
You get to talking to yourself.
Imagine. Yeah. Yeah. What did you name the dog, and what did you name the trailer? Most important.
I haven't named the trailer. I just don't. Actually, I was thinking of calling it This is it's a Casita trailer. They're made by this little company in Texas. Everybody loves them. They're fiberglass trailers. They're cute little trailers. They're just enough size so you can stand up in it and have a bathroom, but not so big that it's this gargantuan thing you're hauling around. So people name them, and I thought I might call it the Casita Light of Love.
That's
after
great.
Mystery Science Theater, you know.
Yeah, one of our favorites.
I thought for the spare tire cover, I was going to have Joel and the Bots, you know, pointing at the Yosemite or something.
I expect nothing less. For a guy who has one of the most immense home theaters in the entire world, I expect it to look like the Millennium Falcon by the end of the week.
Yeah, I ordered it without the decals so that I could customize it. So we'll see what happens. I don't, you know. And the dog's name is Sophie, but I mean, that's such a depressing name, you know, a depressing movie.
It's like Colonel Potter's horse's name from MASH. That's how
really?
I remember Sophie. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, I decided to name her Josie.
Yeah. Oh, nice.
After the Steely Dan song.
Okay. Yeah. She'll get used to that relatively quickly, I think.
After the Steely Dan song / Jody Hamilton jingle.
There you go. Well, speaking of jingles, we've got all of our Christmas decorations here in the show rolled out. I spent a little time over the holiday putting together brand new jingles for the top of the show. And plus, as far as our indie music goes, from here on out, on through the next few weeks, we're going to be playing all of our indie recording artists and their Christmas music. And we've got some great stuff lined up. We've got not one this year, but three versions of Joni Mitchell's River that we're going to be wheeling out.
I just listened to that song the day before yesterday.
Chez Pazienza's favorite Christmas song of all time. So it's got a special role here on the show. We always end the year playing that song. And there's a special version of it. As I said, we've got three versions of it this year. The third version, the third and final version, the ultimate version is by our friend CeCe Grace. And so we're going to be wrapping up 2021 with CeCe Grace performing River by Joni Mitchell. So that's going to be a nice little tribute to our friend Chez. Okay, so jumping into things, lots of news to cover, lots of things to discuss here on the show today. Mike Flynn is on tape saying that QAnon is bullshit. We heard Mike's QAnon fantasy song here, so I thought we'd start with this. You know what? We hear the phrase "own the libs" all the time, Mike. This is owning the suckers. I mean, they know this is a prank. This started as an online prank by the
I think they think owning the suckers, meaning them, is a way to own the libs. That's how twisted they are.
Well, I don't know. We're going to talk about whizzing on the electric fence here in a minute, because there's another story that has to do with the border. That's just confounding. I don't understand the logic of this group. But suffice to say, Mike Flynn, we all know crazy Mike Flynn. He once filmed his family at a July 4th barbecue saying the QAnon oath. Where we go one, we go all. He said in private that the Q conspiracy theory was, quote, total nonsense and a disinformation campaign created by the left. There it is. It's like the Antifa scam where, it was Antifa and BLM infiltrating the insurrection.
Yeah, we created that because it's done us so much good.
That's right. It's a really smart strategy they've pegged us for.
Well, maybe that's
why
they're waiting for JFK, because it's a liberal thing.
Yeah. Are those people still down there? Oh, my God. You know, speaking of JFK, I watched the new Oliver Stone documentary, the follow-up to his JFK movie from years ago, which is... I mean, say what you will about the conspiracy theories themselves. The movie, JFK, is one of the greatest cinematic works of all time.
It's a great, well-made movie, yeah.
So there was some new information from some released documents included in this documentary. I was kind of disappointed that it didn't discuss the opposing side just for the sake of balance. But, I mean, there's this whole new layer now with QAnon and JFK Jr. and waiting at Dealey Plaza for someone who's never going to show up.
I was back in my space shuttle coverage days in 1985. I covered five shuttle missions. And sometimes I would fly to Houston from Tulsa, but other times I would drive. And one time I was coming back from Houston on my way back to Tulsa, and I needed to pee really bad. And I didn't want to stop in Dallas I always timed this so I wouldn't hit Dallas during rush hour.
Yeah.
And so I was hitting Dallas around 7 o'clock. And I was like, man, I don't think I can make it all the way through town and stop on the other side. So I'm just going to take the next exit. I take this exit. I go under this underpass, and there it is. I'm in Dealey Plaza.
Oh, man.
And it was the first time I'd ever seen it. And I just happened to accidentally, you know, be there.
So did you pull over and pee right there at Dealey Plaza, like behind a tree or something?
Well, it's funny. There was a Rod Stewart concert that was just getting ready to start. There was all kinds of traffic downtown because of that. And when you first see it, it looks, first of all, it looks a lot smaller than it looks like in the movies and stuff.
Oh, yeah, sure.
And then you're just like, this is not real. This is a movie set. Mm-hmm. This is not supposed to be a real place.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, later I lived in Dallas and I went there many times and went to the museum there and everything.
When you pulled over to pee there, was there a second pisser on the grassy knoll? That's the important question.
Yeah. That's the thing. I took one whiz and it hit four people. People and caused seven injuries, and it was.
Well, just please don't whiz on the electric fence, by the way.
And it caused my penis to go back and to the left. You know?
Where's the rim shot?
You can do.
I don't know. Where did that come from? I'm hitting all the wrong buttons today. So anyway, just in time for Christmas, here comes Omicron, the latest variant that everyone is calling Omicron for some reason. I know the president called it Omicron yesterday. So if you feel bad for saying Omicron instead of Omicron, don't worry. The president said it. But this was initially quite scary to hear, and now we're in that phase where no one knows what the hell it's going to do. And there have been reports that it's immensely virulent. There's other reports that it's not as deadly as other variants. So we don't know nothing about nothing right now. Certainly, Ali Velshi was filling in for Lawrence O'Donnell last night, and that's how he kind of opened the show. I'm Ali Velshi, and we have no idea what's happening.
I believe what Jody Hamilton was saying before she got kicked off of General Hospital. Jody was saying this morning that they're thinking they might be able to just go ahead and tweak the mRNA stuff. And
they were saying something like within 100 days, Mike, I think it was, that they can adjust the mRNA vaccines to be able to tackle the Omicron variant. And that's great news. I think that's outstanding. The question is not whether or not the scientists can do their job. The question is whether or not the American people are willing to do what they have to do. And that's been the ongoing source of the crisis here. I mean, we still have so many shirkers.
All of this is just going to let us lay down our guard and totally miss Godzilla coming back.
Yeah, exactly. And it doesn't help that Fox News continues to spread its disinformation. Gutfeld, especially, and I got to say it loudly enough to emphasize the exclamation mark at the end of it. Gutfeld! he said on The Five yesterday, he said, "This is actually good news," referring to Omicron. "It's nature's vaccine. You're giving everybody antibodies. You might get mildly sick. You probably won't get sick. Nature is providing the solution to its own problem. This is why we champion natural immunity."
No! No!
Yes, and that was me throwing Gutfeld through the window out to the street.
But it's funny because that line of thinking, if you want to call it that, it falls in line with everything else that they do, which is like, if you don't feel like doing something, don't do it.
Right.
Because it's what's in your, in your gut that matters.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't matter what science is or if you want to call yourself a sovereign citizen, go ahead.
Well, it's
all the same thing. Just do whatever makes you feel good.
Yeah. And of course, what we've been saying all along applies here. Completely irresponsible of Gutfeld to go on national television and say something like this to people who will believe every word he says. And there's that. It's irresponsible. But it's irresponsible on his part. I mean, for him personally to say something like that. I mean, to get on television and say, "Hey, don't worry about it. We're dealing with natural immunity. Go out and get the virus. It's natural immunity, and this isn't going to make you sick." And then people start dropping dead. And what happens to Gutfeld then? Apparently nothing in this country. Now, you can spread this kind of disinformation and get away with it. You can endanger the lives of your audience. You can endanger the lives of everyone your audience knows, whether they watch Fox News or not, are endangered by this kind of bullshit. And he just can keep getting away with it. And that's
one of my old radio friends from the 80s, Vern McKimmy, who retired as the public information officer of Roosevelt Campobello Park.
Yeah.
You can imagine a gig like that.
Right.
He's been tweeting for years to, you know, shut down Fox News in one form or another. But his most recent, by the way, following is Vern McKimmy.
Wow.
And he and I used to do radio together. Mm-hmm. And he said this morning that it's a matter of the FCC putting pressure on the Fox owned and operated stations. Because you can't regulate cable.
Right.
But if they put pressure on their O&O stations because of disinformation, that might be a methodology by which, you know, you could either have them straighten up or you know,
fine
them or whatever. But that's better than doing nothing.
Yeah, exactly. You know? And, you know, I was tweeting about this over the break because I did spend a lot of time tweeting. Those of you on Twitter know that I had a hard time revving down for the break. I just kept going. And, you know, at some point it seems as if we got to give up on the notion of bringing back the fairness doctrine and actually be the fairness doctrine ourselves. I mean, we've seen boycotts like this work in the past, and it seems like sitting on social media and screaming about why don't they bring back the fairness doctrine, even though the fairness doctrine, as you were kind of suggesting, Mike, doesn't necessarily apply to cable television.
Well, it doesn't apply to anything anymore.
Right.
But the FCC cannot regulate cable content.
Mm-hmm.
And people that go down that route just miss that fact. And it's a waste of time to even argue that the FCC can somehow control Fox News' content.
That's right.
Because they can't.
We just have to take the burden upon ourselves and organize, come up with a way to target disinformation like this coming from Fox News Channel and its copycats, and just do it. Just take the onus upon ourselves. This is what democracy is all about.
As far as that FCC not being able to regulate anything but broadcasts, because of the broadcast airways being a finite resource that has to be allocated by the government and regulated by the government. You know, you don't have that definition with cable or with broadband.
Mm-hmm.
But it seems to me we should have a new Communications Act.
Yeah.
That we're working on the Communications Act of 1934, and then I guess it was revised in 96
mm-hmm.
when they allowed stations to when they allowed all, you know, you can own everything in town kind of thing.
Yeah.
Or there were no more limits on how many broadcast stations you could own. There needs to be a new revision that somehow deals with regulating content over cable and broadband. And I don't know how you do that.
Yeah.
You know, because it's free speech, right?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
I mean, this is a huge tangent, and maybe you know the answer to this. I don't know myself how this exactly works in terms of the technology, but the difference between broadcast airwaves and a satellite signal coming from orbit to the terrestrial level, whether it's to an antenna or something like that, to some sort of receiver, to your cell phone, for God's sake. That's going through the air, ostensibly.
Yeah, but theoretically, it's not a limited resource the way that broadcast spectrum is.
Okay,
and that's why the FCC exists, because before then, people would just put up their transmitters and they just choose what frequency they wanted. And if you were on that frequency before, well, too bad if your transmitter was smaller.
Mm-hmm.
And it was the Wild West, so that's why they created this. And that analogy does not apply to satellite. Doesn't apply to cable or broadband for the same reason. So, you know, it can't work that way for sure. But there needs to be some repercussions for quote unquote news outlets irresponsibly putting out disinformation that hurts people.
Yeah.
There seems like there should be other laws that would apply to that. And, you know, I think that, well, there have been, haven't there, but we've had Alex Jones sued.
Yep.
You know, so why not have a massive class action lawsuit against Fox News because of COVID?
There you go. And I think there's that. There are many creative ways that we haven't really thought of yet. I always go back to the Republican trap laws regarding abortion regulations, where they're thinking creatively about, well, how do we get around Roe v. Wade and still restrict abortion access? Well, we're going to come up with these clever new, outside the envelope, strange ways to make it very, very difficult to get an abortion. You can still get an abortion, But we're going to make it really hard. We're going to make it. We're going to intimidate you. We're going to make you drive long distances. We're going to limit the access to those resources by
requiring.
Yeah, exactly. So there's got to be ways like that that we can apply, not only to something that I've been talking about for a couple of years now regarding trap style laws, which is gun control, but also when it comes to regulate, because it's the centerpiece. It is the centerpiece to all of the madness that we're facing right now, and that is the constant geyser of disinformation that is coming from Fox News and its copycats. And you know, while there is something to be said for free speech is not unfettered. It is not something that is, you know, 100% sacrosanct. There are regulations on free speech, fair, reasonable regulations. And I think Fox News has way abused its power in all of this. I mean, Roger Ailes to me has been a much bigger threat. Obviously not anymore, but still his ghost lives on. I mean, Roger Ailes, much bigger threat than Donald Trump, I think, has ever been.
I'm going to veer off into my personal world here a little bit. Sorry about that.
No, go
but
for
one
it.
Of the reasons I haven't been around the past year is I've been working this contract, and it's with it's with a small company here in this 20,000 plus people town. 77% voted for Trump. The reddest county in all of North Carolina.
Yeah.
But I'm working for a subsidiary of the Michelin Tire and Rubber Company.
Oh, interesting.
And it's a fun job. I mean, it's really, you know, I'm going to work at a factory in this Trump town. What's that going to be like? You know?
Yeah.
Well, it turns out I'm working for the French.
That's great.
And one of the nice things about it, besides the fact that my office mate is this super liberal, second generation Mexican guy who's getting his master's in statistics. You know, he's a Decemberist fan like me, and he gets all my jokes, and we're just like fast friends, right?
Mm.
So there's that. And so, like, wow. And then the other thing, the reason I mention this is because of Fox News. You will never find Fox News on in our break room.
Wow, nice.
And I think it's because the French own the company.
Yeah. Good for them. Good for the French.
Yeah, I know. Merci. So it's like, I keep saying living here has been like northern exposure. It's this redneck town, but there are these people just spotted here and there that are like the coolest fucking people I've ever known.
Yeah, and you know what? I want to talk to you about Dope Sick later on, which is the miniseries on Hulu. We just finished watching it. And you living where you are, oh my God, I can't even imagine the OxyContin problem that may have actually plagued
that.
You
know, the funny thing about that, it's not real obvious.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
I see no signs of that anywhere because I'm just not. Maybe it's because of the part of town I live in, but you know, that's the kind of epidemic that's just not clear.
Yeah, yeah.
Well,
suffice to say, it's areas of the world, areas of the country, like where you live, that was targeted by the Sackler family and Purdue Pharma. But back to Omicron, we've got one case in Canada. It's probably here already. Before that, Dutch health authorities said 61 people who arrived in Amsterdam on two different flights from South Africa this past Friday, Black Friday, tested positive for COVID-19, and they were conducting further testing early Saturday to see if any of the infections are with the recently discovered Omicron coronavirus variant. Meantime, 377. This speaks to Greg Gutfeld's, hey, look, go out and get it. Yeah, you're only going to get mildly sick. 377 Americans spent their Thanksgiving holiday dying from COVID, and that was a light day for deaths in this country. So the irresponsibility that continues to happen, not just by people who refuse to get the vaccine, but by people who are telling them using you know, their cable networks or whatever, their platforms on social media to say, hey, don't do this.
A lot of corporate mixed messages out. There's a place I eat lunch all the time. It's a corporate chain, and they say we can't seat more than six people.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
But everybody stopped wearing masks. So,
it's unbelievable.
You know,
the extent of this next wave. I know some people have started calling it the Bill Maher wave. I've been calling it the complacency wave.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Yeah, and that's what we're facing now. Everyone thinks, well, this is over because you know, a comedian got on his show on HBO and said, "Hey, look, it's over. Hey, I'm so sick of it, so therefore it's over." It was Bill Maher. But you know what?
Honestly, I'm not sure the media has
I mean, it obviously plays a role.
Yeah.
But I also think, you know, I still, when I'm in the grocery store, I still see tons of masks in the grocery store.
Yeah, me too.
And that's for a little town like this, that's pretty good, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
Lots of people are still aware. Mm-hmm. But as far as the media goes, I think if you just take media out of the equation at all, I think just as a human being, you just have this sense that things run their course and this part is over. It's just psychologically in my mind, okay, I'm vaccinated. This is something I don't have to deal with anymore.
Well, yeah, and it's such a complicated thing to kind of rationalize in terms of the different scenarios, you know, whether if you're vaccinated, you can still transmit it, and then this person gives it to that person. It's a whole complicated thing, and the vaccines tend to simplify it a little bit more, but still, there's a lot of exceptions to the rules, protections that we have.
You can. You very much can transmit it, and that's one of their favorite right-wing talking points.
Yeah.
Is you're still spreading it around. It's like, well, if you would get vaccinated, you dope, it wouldn't be a problem that I was spreading it around. Even if I had a mask on, you know, I wear my mask because I know that I can, even though I will never feel it, I could be positive or just transmit it to somebody who's immunocompromised.
Yeah.
And that's where it stops, because we're getting back to that whole do whatever makes you feel right.
That's right.
You know, and screw everybody else.
Yeah. Again, I think it's just too complicated for so many of us. And that's one of the many, many frustrating aspects of this. One thing, we just can't accomplish big things in this country anymore. We can't understand complicated issues anymore. Part of the problem with what you were just describing is, well, if you're vaccinated and you end up transmitting the virus to someone else, the viral load that you're carrying is much smaller than someone who is unvaccinated. Therefore, what you're transferring is maybe not as severe as someone who is unvaccinated and has a much larger viral load. There are so many
But the right wingers will take the pieces of that suit them and throw it back at you and think to themselves, I've owned a lib because I used science to say what I was saying.
Well, it's amazing. Sometimes situations like this, a crisis like this, creates strange bedfellows. And CNBC's Jim Cramer is someone who I don't often agree with in terms of, you know, investing in his approach toward Wall Street and so on. But he actually said something on his show last night that I 100% agree with. He made a strong case, did a whole monologue about how there needs to be a national vaccine mandate. And I was kind of surprised to see that coming from Jim Cramer. I'm not exactly sure what his motives with this are. I assume they're altruistic. I assume it comes from a place of wanting to eradicate this, wanting to be as safe as possible and do what we have to do to move beyond the COVID era. And so in that respect, I mean, how can you argue with Jim Cramer on this? It's strange that suddenly I'm agreeing with Jim Cramer, but you know, it's just,
but that's not what Biden and Harris want to do. They want to put you in a work camp. Don't you understand?
That's exactly right. Well, you know, it's so damn frustrating, and we all came through holidays where we may have had to encounter family members who we disagree with, and trying to navigate all of the minefields when it comes to politics and dealing with COVID and so on. So what better time for this podcast to be sponsored by BetterHelp? Is there something interfering with your happiness or preventing you from achieving your goals? Well, BetterHelp is going to assess your needs and match you with your own licensed professional therapist in under 48 hours. It's not a crisis line. It's not self-help. It's professional therapy done securely online. You can log into your account anytime and send a message to your therapist. You're going to get timely and thoughtful responses. Plus, you can schedule weekly video or phone sessions, so you won't ever have to sit in an uncomfortable waiting room as with traditional therapy. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches, so they make it easy and free to change therapists if needed. It's more affordable than traditional offline therapy, and financial aid is available too. BetterHelp wants you to start living a happier life today. Visit their website and read their testimonials that are posted daily. Visit BetterHelp.com/Seska. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.com/Seska. CESCA and join the over 2 million people who've taken charge of their mental health with the help of an experienced professional. In fact, so many people have been using BetterHelp that they're recruiting additional therapists in all 50 states. And here, your special offer for Bob Seska Show listeners, get 10% off your first month at BetterHelp.com/Seska. That's BetterHelp.com/Seska. Thank you.
The Bob Seska Show.
1, 2, a 1, 2.
You're a mean one, Mr. Grinch. You really are a heel. You're as cuddly as a cactus. You're as charming as an eel, Mr. Grinch. You're a bad banana with a ugly sip black.
Yeah, the great Bob Malone, Piano Malone on social media, and his amazing cover of You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch, BobMalone.com. As I said, we're playing all Christmas music by our indie recording artists here.
Speaking of which, those of you who are on hold wanting me to do Omicron to the tune of Kodachrome, we have a winner. Thank you. No more calls.
Did you get a request?
I've had about 5 so far. And Jody made the connection today on the show.
Yeah.
On Jody on the show, on Stephanie Miller's show. Yeah. So that means it's just going to explode.
Right.
Shit. Hey, you ought to do that Kodachrome error.
Yeah.
That,
see, thing. I was once married to a classics scholar, so I'm familiar with all of the Greek alphabet letters because it was required as part of that relationship to be well schooled in ancient Greek. So Omicron.
I mentioned that I'm not
me.
As afraid of the new variant as I am the knee variant, and posted that, and I got a like from Mary Trump. Hey,
that's awesome. Congratulations. Well, meantime, Adam Schiff is saying there's a criminal contempt referral lining up, getting ready for Mark Meadows sometime this week. Although we've also heard separately that the same committee, and of course the 1-6 committee, they plan to vote on holding a second Trump ally in contempt of Congress that's not Mark Meadows. They're talking about Jeffrey Clark here. For criminal contempt charges. Clark is a former Justice Department official involved in Trump's unsuccessful efforts to overturn the 2020 presidential election. And he appeared for a deposition on November 5th, but refused to answer questions, saying he was duty-bound not to provide testimony to your committee covering information protected by the former president's assertion of executive privilege. Doesn't apply.
Absolute executive privilege.
And apparently today in the D.C. Court of Appeals, they are hearing arguments right now with regard to that very subject. And from what I've seen on Charlie Pierce's Twitter feed, not going so well for the Trump team so far. Not a surprise, because this is a real stretch for them. You know what this is? They're not even really seriously challenging this as a legitimate argument. What they want to do is stall for time. The whole idea here is to stall until the beginning of 2023, because at the beginning of 2023, if we don't get our asses in gear as Democrats at the beginning of 2023, that's going to be bye-bye to the 1-6 committee. Replaced, as I've been predicting, Mike, the committee to investigate the 1-6 committee. And that's going to be the Republican version of it. I guarantee it. So the scary things on the horizon.
Yeah, if there's one thing they've learned from Trump, it's gaslighting. They've taken gaslighting to a Higgs boson level of science. You know.
But meantime, Adam Schiff told CNN that the committee is also investigating Donald Trump. So glad to hear that. I hope this is a serious investigation and not like, well, this is what Trump knew, but we're not going to pursue any charges. He said, I think among the broadest category of unknowns are those surrounding the former president, and we are determined to get answers. But at this point, I'm not in a position to indicate what we know yet. So, you know, this thing, I've been talking about it for a few weeks now. It started to happen when I saw a tweet by Ronna McDaniel. The head of the RNC, she tweeted back on, well, let's see, is that the first one? I'm trying to see here. No, you know what? It's the GOP account was the first one. The @GOP, the official Republican account. It says here, breaking, 192,000 illegal immigrants were apprehended at the southern border last month. The highest number of September apprehensions ever recorded by DHS. And this is supposed to be bad news for Joe Biden. That reads like great news for Joe Biden, as far as I'm concerned. Yeah. I don't understand how this is being spun to be bad news for Joe Biden. It is incomprehensible. So this is like, okay, that's the first one. Could be a mistake. You know, maybe they don't have their signals wired properly as far as their talking points here. Maybe this was an error. Maybe they just accidentally tweeted that and says, ah, fuck it, we're just going to leave it up. But then we see on November 18th, Ronna McDaniel, the chairwoman of the GOP, tweets 899 pounds of fentanyl and 15,000 pounds of methamphetamine were seized at the southern border in October alone. That much fentanyl is the equivalent of 204 million lethal doses. We need border security.
Again, good news, you know.
What the hell? I'm baffled. I am utterly baffled at this. Then, as if that wasn't bad enough, Chuck Grassley, who's been hitting the head a whole lot of time, whole lot of lumps on Chuck Grassley's head. Welcome to, and two is a number two, of course, because it's Chuck Grassley's Twitter account. Welcome, number two, Prez Biden's America, where 10,000 pounds of fentanyl have been seized by Customs and Border Patrol so far this fiscal year.
No, they could have just said seized. They didn't have to say have been.
Yeah, I know. Which is enough to kill over 2 billion people or more than 1/4 of the world's population. This is supposed to be bad news for Joe Biden, but this reads as if Chuck Grassley just complimented Joe Biden on saving 1/4 of the world's population. I'm confounded by this. And then just yesterday, this is why I'm bringing it all up, Mike. Just yesterday, Elise Stefanik tweeted this. Over 800 pounds of fentanyl was seized at our southern border in October. This is Biden's border crisis. Republicans whizzing on the electric.
Why don't they just mention that the ozone layer hole has gotten bigger in Antarctica? This is Biden's ozone hole.
Well, it's not even that.
The reason you're seeing all this, they have to tweet something.
Yeah.
It has to be against Biden. Yeah. So they just find whatever they can, and that's how pathetic it is.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess they can't tweet about inflation forever.
Yeah, but this is all unequivocally good news for Joe Biden, but they're spinning it as terrible news. But it's very obviously great news. I am completely baffled by this. I mean, going back to your ozone layer metaphor, it'd be like saying, oh my God, that ozone layer, the ozone hole above Antarctica has completely closed and it's no longer a problem. This is Biden's America. Why?
Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense. We have completely eliminated our need for overseas foreign sourced oil. This is Biden's America. I mean, the Joe Biden has balanced the budget. Oh, my God. Why does Joe Biden hate America? I mean, none of this makes any sense.
There is an asteroid that will come within 40,000 miles of Earth that has been discovered. Joe Biden's asteroid.
It's as if Joe Biden got the asteroid to get out of the way of Earth,
right,
eliminating that as a problem.
Right, and removing then our freedoms in the process.
Yeah, or saying that it's a big, serious crisis.
No, and if you're afraid of the asteroid, stay home.
I mean, is the point to make smoke come out of my ears? Maybe that's the whole idea behind this.
No, I mean, I they have a job to do, and that's to tweet shit about Joe Biden, and they just take whatever is rolling across the teletype at the time. Okay, we'll do this, you know.
None of it makes any sense. I'm at that place now. That's what runs through my head every time I see one of these tweets. And it's not just like a one-off. Like I was saying, it's not just the GOP account or Ronna McDaniel farting one of these ridiculous missives into the atmosphere. This is a thing. This is a talking point, clearly something that was written, constructed, and fed to all of the various players, probably through some, you know, internal email system or, you know, a private, you know, social media group or something like that. I swear to God, this is so dumb, Mike. This has got to be a Charlie Kirk idea.
And so much of this has to be fundraising oriented, you know.
You have
to constantly be putting something out there to keep your base excited every day. And they're the only ones that are paying attention to this crap.
Yeah.
And it's just to get them excited so that whenever there's something big comes along, they can get more money. And that's where this whole, you know, Ilhan Omar thing came from. It's just to make money.
Yeah.
And that's another thing. I don't know if Trump has taught them this, but this is all about scamming people out of their money because if they don't, then the Democrats will take over and eat your baby.
I mean, is this the latest tactic that they're going to use? Is this the thing now where they're going to take an unequivocal Biden success story and say, what the fuck is going on with Joe Biden? This is a disaster. Because that's exactly what this is.
Right. I mean, it doesn't matter if it's true or not, how they cast it, how they characterize it. The important thing is to characterize it that and do it quickly so that the gaslighting has happened. Mm-hmm. And no matter what you say from that moment on, it's too late.
Well, I mean, as I said before, if the point is to make me go, job well done, Republicans, because that's where I am right now. This makes no fucking sense whatsoever. But please keep going. Please keep emphasizing all the success stories inadvertently. Please keep derping into complimenting Joe Biden, because certainly the Democrats could use the help right now as far as getting the good word out. Meantime, MGM, the old movie studio, is now forced to turn over Celebrity Apprentice footage, all of that B-roll, all of the unreleased footage of Donald Trump in this lawsuit that has heretofore flown.
And Peter Jackson is going to edit down 57 hours of him saying the N-word and release it on Disney Plus. It'll be called Get Fucked.
Yeah. That's right. Holy shit. Well, this is a scandal that has kind of flown under the radar. I don't know how this made it through so many different layers of investigation, or so many different layers, of outrage.
I'm at the point like it doesn't matter. If the pussy grabbing doesn't change anything, what difference is him saying the N-word? It doesn't make any difference.
As far as this goes, anything that eats into Donald Trump's ridiculous lied about fortune, anything that takes money away from Donald Trump, because money is his favorite thing in the world, but anything that makes his sphincter clench up and removes money from his various accounts, that's fine with me, because this seems like this is where that's heading, this particular lawsuit. Trump and his stupid children were allegedly involved in this multi-level marketing scam surrounding, of all things, a failed video chat platform. So a team of investors who he convinced to invest in this video chat platform, the company that created the video chat platform, the investors now, a group of them, are suing, and they're accusing the Trumps of scamming them. They're calling it a multi-level marketing scam. And some of that information is allegedly contained. Some of the Trumps talking about this scam is allegedly contained in this Celebrity Apprentice footage.
Well, so, okay, that's a different. So legal things, okay.
Yes, yeah. But I mean, it's amazing.
Oh, by the way, you know, when I got this dog, I meant to tell you yesterday, along with the dog, they gave me some dewormer. So I am actually holding ivermectin as we speak.
Send some to me, man.
I'm announcing right now, I'm going to do my own research on the dog.
Yeah, we can wait till we get off the air, Mike, and you can tell me all about the dewormer. I'll tell you all about my 5G signal, so we can get without revealing on the show, because we got to keep that hush hush, right? Because it's a big liberal.
I'm going to give this to the dog, scam. And if the dog doesn't catch COVID, then I've proven my point.
So the this particular case, here's an interesting tidbit from this MGM Celebrity Apprentice multi-level marketing scam case. The case is set for a jury trial. This isn't something that's going to be settled out of court. They're taking this to trial with a jury. So if the legal fight makes it that far, if they end up in court with all of this, the public might get to see this video as well.
Yeah.
And I underscore might. I mean, you don't know what the rules are going to be for the courtroom, but there's a very solid chance that we could end up seeing some of this video footage. It's going to take them some time.
I guess in some cases, evidence that's entered
can still remain private because it affects people or something like that. But most of the time, that stuff is public record, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, if it's presented in court, especially open court hearings, then that becomes public record, and that's not a problem.
You can discuss this with Jody on Thursday with her Law and Order degree.
Yeah, that's right. That's a good idea. All right, so this will be interesting. And, of course, once again, another business venture involving Donald Trump turns out to be a big goddamn disaster. I spent the break watching Trump's DWAC stock, which is the SPAC that he merged with, his new media company. And right now, I'll just give you a quick update on Digital World Acquisition Corp, and that stock on the NASDAQ, down 5% today. So sad for his stock. Total has dropped 8% over the last 5 days. So good. And, you know, when I see this stock and I see the stock price precipitously dropping from where it was, I think the first Friday it was being traded, I think it was around $150 a share. And that's when stupid Marjorie Taylor Greene invested anywhere from $15,000 to $50,000 in this particular stock.
Other people's money.
Yeah, yeah. So let's see.
So that's DWAC?
DWAC, yeah, on the NASDAQ.
And it's coordinated with his pack. So on the NASDAQ DWAC pack?
Yes.
DWAC pack.
Right. Since I think Marjorie Taylor Greene invested in this, since that point in time, the stock has declined 33%. And that's just in the past month. I could be looking at this mistakenly. Let me see here. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I was wrong.
Can we short sell that stuff?
Yes. That's what I've been suggesting. Short sell it, because that's the best way to drag it down even further. I mean, that's what they would do. If this was Hillary Clinton's stock, holy shit. Yeah. There would be an entire Reddit, Breitbart comment section.
Well, it also makes me wonder who bought the Chris Christie book. You know, was it really 2,200 people the first week? I mean, or was that just one big order? Or does nobody even care that much? I mentioned this. My album that came out 8 years ago sold more copies in 3 days than Chris Christie sold his book in the first week. And I wasn't on Meet the Fucking Press.
That's incredible. That's incredible. Despite the fact that... they were probably bulk buying Chris Christie's book.
Like, who would do that? I bet you no one would even do that. So that would tell you right there, he's not going to have any big donors, but who knows?
By the way, I was wrong in saying...
I think if the big donors see a hole there, if they see daylight trying to get away from Trump, they'll go with Christie or whoever.
Yeah, I think they will. I mean, he's trying to position himself as the anti-Trump. Not necessarily attacking Donald Trump, but presenting himself, I'm the last reasonable Republican, vote for me. When we know he was in Trump's back pocket.
Let's be fair. Would you rather have Chris Christie or Ted Cruz as president?
Well, that's true. None of the above. Thank you very much. I got the numbers here. Since the stock hit its high watermark, it has declined in value by 56% since October 22nd. So sad for Marjorie Taylor Greene's a very smart, very wise investment in DWAC.
Yeah, bad she can't get gerrymandered out like Boebert can.
Yeah, no kidding. All right, so if you're only listening to this portion, the free portion of the Bob Seska Show on Apple Podcasts or wherever you happen to be listening, you're only hearing the first hour. There's an extra 20 minutes of show after the end credits roll at the end of every Tuesday and Thursday show, and it's all happening on our Patreon page. Of course, I'm talking about the Shadow Docket podcast at patreon.com/Bob Seska Show or very simply BobSeskaShow.com. It's a completely unfiltered, commercial-free continuation of all the fun and news, and it's only going to cost you pennies per episode. The Shadow Docket drops every Tuesday and Thursday after the free shows, and it's only going to cost you $5 per month, and you're going to be supporting this fully independent podcast. So don't miss out. Again, that's BobSeskaShow.com. Bookmark it. Send it to all your friends, and we thank you in advance.
Bob Seska!
A little evergreen, what does it mean? It's only a tree until you bring it inside. Put up the lights and a star. Or even mistletoe, where does it grow? I don't really know. But in December you find it all the time, where kisses are.
Oh yeah, this is great. Cookie, yeah, Jen Lucy Cook, otherwise known as Cookie. Song called Christmas Magic. I've got her Linktree links in the description below at bobseska.com. All right. So, yeah, normally I would go, yeah, submit your work to bobseska.com/music, but I've already got the playlist for December lined up. So if you do submit, I won't be getting to your music until January.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff.
And so that's how that's going to work. I'm sorry. Yeah, but we're doing Christmas. We always do some sort of theme in December. It's fun to do it. Plus, it makes my life easier. Okay, digging back into things here. While we are away, the 1-6 committee issued five new subpoenas to people involved in the planning of these
subpoenas
on January 6th. Dustin Stockton, who I don't know.
Oh, he's good.
Yeah. Jennifer Lawrence, who is awesome in Hunger Games, by the way.
Dustin Stockton in Bounty Law.
It does. That is completely a name like that. Absolutely. This is a different Jennifer Lawrence. It's not Jennifer Lawrence, the actor. Taylor
Dustin Stockton is, I think that's a gay porn actor.
Roger Stone, and of course the big one, Alex Jones, also subpoenaed by the 1-6 committee. He's expected to plead the fifth because apparently he's not concerned about looking immensely guilty. But we don't need him to testify or to say, here's what I did, because we already have tape of Alex
Jones. We've got the audio.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're talking about on the day after the whole thing went down at the Capitol. Alex Jones talking about how he coordinated with the Secret Service and with the White House to lead the crowd from the Ellipse down to the Capitol building. Yeah. That's exactly what he described. I mean, I'll play this.
Then the White House told me 3 days before, we're going to have you lead the march. The Secret Service, before Trump finishes, 30 minutes before or so, will lead you to a point, take you out of the front row, and lead you to the place where they want you to start the march, and Trump will tell people, go, and I'm going to meet you at the Capitol.
There it is. Holy shit.
I was really disappointed when the Sandy Hook decision came down that there wasn't more credit given to the shape-shifting lizard people and the gay frogs. They really did not get to speak to the press.
Well, what I was thinking about is when it came to Sandy Hook, were there tiny airplanes and helicopters circling around the school? Was that happening? Did you see those things in the air? Because what they do is it's Obama moving his weather weapons from someplace else right to Newtown, Connecticut. And that's what I have observed. I have the documents right here. As you see, I've got lots of, of course, as soon as I go to talk about documents, I can't get a piece of paper in my hand. Okay, here we go. See, here are the documents. God damn it. Couldn't happen to a better guy, huh? And yeah. And for some reason, you know, he's going to keep going. He's not going to stop.
Are we in the after show now?
No, we're still doing the regular show.
Oh, okay.
The regular part of the show.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, we have
because I wanted to thank all the cheap bastards.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the cheap bastards who are not subscribed. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So go ahead. I'm sorry.
So meantime, Trump has been linked to the Willard Hotel war room. And, of course, the plan to overthrow the election. We now have official documentation from The Guardian indicating that Trump was in communication with this group of weirdos and freaks who were hanging out at the Willard Hotel trying to figure out how to overturn the election. And it says here, according to The Guardian, as Trump relayed to them the situation with Mike Pence, which we've already heard about, he pressed his lieutenants. I always love how these... I mean, it's basically like Rudy Giuliani, Andrew Giuliani, and Steve Bannon hammered in the Willard Hotel. But they're his lieutenants, right? About how to stop Biden's certification from taking place on 6 January. You can tell this was written in England, 6 January. And delay the certification process to get alternate slates of electors for Trump sent to Congress. The former president's remarks came as part of a strategy he had from the White House with lieutenants. There it is again. At the Willard, a team.
If you say lieutenants, I think of Lieutenant Carpenter on McHale's Navy.
I think Lieutenant Dan.
And whose ass was he always kissing? He was always kissing Captain Binghamton's ass, who was played by Joe Flynn. see, so it all ties together.
Absolutely. Well, let's see here. It was Rudy Giuliani, John Eastman, Boris Epstein, and Trump strategist Steve Bannon. And they were all figuring out ways to delay the certification. Multiple sources speaking to The Guardian on the condition of anonymity described Trump's involvement in the effort to subvert the results of the 2020 election. Trump's remarks reveal a direct line from the White House and the command center at the Willard. The conversations also show Trump's thoughts appear to be in line with the motivations of the pro-Trump mob that carried out the Capitol attack and halted Biden's certification until it was later ratified by Congress. So
if nothing else, this shit needs to be in every campaign ad for the next 3 years.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I really don't know if they're going to get anywhere, because they will claim that this is a political witch hunt, and no matter what happens in the courts, it's going to be in the court of public opinion.
Yeah, yeah. And don't take anything for granted either. Don't take it for granted that American voters are going to remember the supply chain issues from 2020 between March and like August, when, you know, we had to resort here to figuring out how to use the three shells from Demolition Man.
Americans, people are not remembering that we even had COVID. They're pretending exactly that never happened.
Yeah, yeah. Well, now the Republicans are taking advantage of the fact that people can't remember. Because I was just seeing Tom Cotton on television today saying, oh, yeah, we didn't have a supply chain problem during the Trump administration. Certainly not in 2020.
And COVID has clearly worked in their favor, because people who have COVID have no taste.
Yeah, exactly right. I mean, my God, the cynicism on display alone. I mean, let's talk about lying and disinformation, all that shit. This is purely cynicism, because what they're doing is they're lying to their own people. They're treating their people like the biggest suckers in the world, which they kind of are. But I mean, they're taking full advantage of that, saying, hey, you know what? I don't remember us, scrambling for a roll of generic toilet paper. I don't remember any of that shit going on. I don't remember not being able to buy fucking Lysol.
That COVID hoarder, Albert Brooks.
What was because Albert Brooks that, hoarding
in the
paper?
First episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm this season? Albert Brooks is portrayed as a COVID hoarder. Someone accidentally opens his closet at his party, and it's full of toilet paper and Purell. Everybody disowns Albert Brooks because he's a COVID hoarder.
And you know what? I forget exactly when it was. I think it was April or May or something like that of 2020. There was a sexy liberal show that was done. I think it was the first one that was done via streaming video. And I did an Alex Jones puppet show as part of that presentation.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was brilliant. I loved it.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah. And during it, I shot a little piece of it, the Dan Bidondi portion of it, I shot in my garage, where you can see all of the paper towels and toilet paper that Kimberly and I had been hoarding at that point.
Actually, when I was on Debriana Mancini's cooking show, I stacked in a big pyramid in a closet with a light on it and everything, just rolls of toilet paper. And I completely forgot about that gag, and I forgot to do it. So.
Yeah, I mean, it's amazing that this is now where we are as a nation, where the Republicans just say, oh, yeah, that thing where no one could buy toilet paper or Lysol or, God damn it, you couldn't even buy exercise equipment. I mean, everything was out of stock at that period of time for months on end. I mean, there weren't ventilators. There weren't masks. We didn't have PPE.
Were you one of these people? I ordered the toilet paper from Amazon, the one that comes with, it's got like 40 sheets on it. You know, it's really tiny, tiny rolls, and it had to be shipped from China, and it took like 3 months to get here.
I was saying a second ago, we had to start using the three shells from Demolition Man instead of toilet paper. And so that was a whole learning curve. And so, but that was all a consequence of there being no shit on the shelves. And by the way, I can walk into the grocery store right now and avail myself of every brand of toilet paper in the world right now, despite what the Republicans are saying. There's an entire disconnect between what the Republicans and are saying and what is actually
the lumber prices have come back down.
Exactly.
Has fallen off.
Mm-hmm. And this is all, it's, you know, it's all worldwide. It's all cyclical. But of course, they'll jump on it politically. Yep. And let's be fair, we would do the same thing.
Sure.
But not to the level of distortion that these guys do.
Yeah. Well, we're not brazen enough to say, I don't remember there was any problem in early 2020. No, we can't bring ourselves
to it.
But see,
that's the problem
with
our side is we think we win arguments by presenting the facts, yeah. And they think they win arguments by yelling louder.
Or they present the facts that are actually good news for the Democrats and Joe Biden as bad news. Unbelievable. Well, still lots more to talk about here on the show. This is when we segue over to the Shadow Docket on our Patreon
page.
Bye, cheap
bastards.
Pennies per show. 5, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 5. That's from the Eddie Murphy imitating Bill Cosby. That's what that's worth. $5 per month. You get two Shadow Docket shows, one every Tuesday, one every Thursday, every damn week. Well, except for this particular month because we're going to be off over the Christmas break. But you got 3 weeks there of full-on shows between now and our Christmas break. 3 weeks to go. And so please sign up for the Shadow Docket podcast. If you sign up for $10 a month, you get the Shadow Docket podcast, sure, every Tuesday and Thursday for your $10. But you know what you also get for $10 a month? You get the after party with me and Kimberly Johnson every Friday. And that's a whole lot of fun. If you want to see where all the big time Christmas elements, all the Christmas elements from Christmases past end up landing, it'll be on the after party. And I know that's not selling it at all. Everyone's going, now, why would I want to do that, Bob? Why would I want to hear that shit over and over again? Yeah, selling liberals on Christmas-themed jingles and audio elements, not an easy sell. But every year we've been doing this show. I try and I try and I try. See what I do for you people? I subject myself to Christmas elements every year because for entertainment. All right. Well, Mike, thank you so much for joining me today. You're going to stick around for the Shadow Docket?
Yeah,
about another 20 minutes? Yeah. And, of course, we send our best wishes again to our good friend Buzz Burbank, who will be back next Tuesday. And I hope he's doing okay.
Drive safe, Buzz.
Yes, absolutely. Drive safely. He was really enjoying the gray, dark, moody climate in Kansas. Going from sunny Florida to Kansas this time of year, it's got to be a bit of a shock. Not only the clock touching to making it dark too early, but then also, the dark, hideous winter weather in a place like Kansas, huh? All right. So, patreon.com/Bob Seska Show. Sign up. We'll see you over there, folks. Take care. Bye-bye.